Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So college campuses have been the center of cancel culture for quite a while now, and we are starting to see professor after professor being ousted for the great crime of not repeating slogans promoted by Black Lives Matter. One of those professors who's now in danger is Professor William Jacobson, clinical professor of law and director of the Securities Law Clinic. He's on the Cornell Law faculty, and now he's in danger of being boycotted, maybe ousted, all because he committed the great crime of pointing out that the actual Black Lives Matter group is not particularly wonderful, and that many of the people who are pushing Black Lives Matter are actually pushing other agendas. Professor Jacobson, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me on.
So why don't we begin by asking what your great thought crime here was, because, and then we'll get to the responses that you've received, because apparently you're a very, very bad man, and as a bad man, you must be canceled. So what did you do to earn the title of the sobriquet of bad man?
Well, my first thought crime was that I wrote the historical accuracy about the hands up, don't shoot, which is the slogan of the Black Lives Matter, which is being chanted in the streets this year. That the formative event for Black Lives Matter was the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. The narrative was that he has hands up in the air, that he was shot by a policeman when he was saying don't shoot. That feeds into the entire narrative of Black Lives Matter, that the police are evil, they are white supremacists, and they wantonly kill Black men for no good reason. The problem with that is that it never happened. Michael Brown never had his hands raised in the air, never said don't shoot. Those were the findings of the Obama administration Justice Department, which investigated it. The reason Michael Brown was shot was that he sucker punched a policeman who was sitting in his patrol car, tried to steal his weapon, got shot once. He then moved away from the car, the policeman got out, and he made a second charge at the policeman, and that's when he was shot dead. So the entire formative, original narrative of Black Lives Matter is a fabrication, and that's what I wrote. I said that this is a fabrication, and I've written this before, but never with this reaction, and that it's, people have been led to believe something that's not true, and they're chanting it in the streets, and it is the ethos of the organized Black Lives Matter movement of this evil police state, and that's why you hear calls for defunding. So that was one of the things I wrote. The second thing I wrote was a fairly harsh criticism of the rioting and the looting, and how you cannot divorce the original radical left inclinations of the founders of the movement, the anti-capitalist inclinations of the founders of the movement, from the rhetoric that's going on now, which is to basically tear down society. And so I wrote that too. And I called for the federal government to find the people who have been coordinating the violence. I used that very phrase to and prosecute them. So that was the second thing that they So I have come under severe attack claiming that I'm racist because I don't agree with Black Lives Matter, that I called for protesters to be arrested, which I never called for, and that I am advocating police brutality and a manhunt by the police to go after protesters. So none of this has happened. And the result of that was that there's been a letter writing campaign by alumni and a petition by alumni to get me fired. The 21 of my colleagues denounced me. The dean denounced me, but said that I would not be fired because this was within my academic freedom to express these views. But my views are, you know, basically irrational and not supported, and et cetera, et cetera. And there now is a move underway by the Black Law Students Association and the Cornell chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, which is an extreme left-wing organization, to get students to boycott me and to also move forward in severing my relationships with other entities on campus. And that's where I am now. They're coming after me. They're defaming me as racist, et cetera. And it's all because I told some hard truths. Nobody says they have to agree with me, but that in this culture and in this climate, they try to isolate you. And the result has been that I'm getting a lot of student support, but it's all behind the scenes. Students are emailing me saying they're disgusted with how I'm being treated, but they're afraid to speak up because they don't want to get treated the way I'm getting treated. So there's just this climate of fear which has descended on the law school because of this, you know, intolerance for opposing views.
And you actually offered members of the Black Law Students Association to debate one of their representatives as well as any faculty member of their choice. And instead, they said, no, you got to boycott him. He has to be delegitimized entirely. So how do you think is there any outcome here, or does it just sort of peter out? I mean, we've seen these sorts of movements before. Very often, faculty members are pressured to basically quit. We saw this with Nicholas Christakis over at Yale. We saw this with Brett Weinstein over at Evergreen College. The sort of internal pressure is obviously very heavy. How are you dealing with that? And do you plan to stay on? And what happens? Is the goal here to basically make it so that so few students come to your class out of fear of social censure that then gives the law school an excuse to get rid of you?
Well, I think that might be the end game here, that there's really not many grounds on which they can fire me. And they've already announced that my blog posts are not a grounds to take disciplinary action, much less fire me. But if I don't have a course to teach, they might try to claim that. So I think there might be an end game here by people. But I think this is just a rage and a fury. I think this is pent up frustrations that they're taking out on me because they have this nice, you know, bubble, thought bubble where everybody agrees with them. And then somebody comes along and doesn't agree with them. And therefore that they view that as a danger to them. So I think this is a panic. I think this is a rage. I think they are looking for somebody to hate on, and I've become a convenient figure for them to do that. How long it goes on, I don't know. I'm certainly not going to quit, so I think something's got to give. And ideally, you would have an administration, both at the university and the law school level, which would try to foster an atmosphere at the law school where both faculty and students felt free to speak their minds without this social censure, without this mob mentality. But that doesn't exist because I've already been denounced by the school in an almost, I believe it's unprecedented, although I haven't gone back hundreds of years, I believe it's unprecedented for the institution to announce that it disagrees with the faculty member's protected speech. The institution to say what is acceptable viewpoints and what is not acceptable. And so I think it set a very bad tone, and I think it's emboldened a lot of these student groups. Now that the dean has signed on to the fact that I'm supposedly this bad person, well, why can't they as well?
Well, Professor Jacobson, really appreciate you standing up out there. Now, I'm going to give a message that Professor Jacobson has not approved for the purposes of the Cornell Law School faculty and the dean. If you're an alum of Cornell, call up the dean and tell him to stop being a jerk. And really tell them that your donations are on the line, because the alumni are the ones who really control a lot of these law schools. And if you're sitting by while other Cornell alum are basically allowing professors to be railroaded for their belief systems, you're not doing anybody any favors. Professor Jacobson does not support that message because he works there. I support that message. So I'm telling you, if you're a Cornell alum, call up the dean's office today and say that this is absurd, because it is absurd, and threaten to withhold your donations until they actually guarantee the climate of intellectual freedom and rigor that students were supposed to be provided in the first place. Professor Jacobson, really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.